You don't have to have a memory like Michelle to remember where the best place to go for your online shopping is. It's Amazon.com. Get the best deals on everything you need and help support Robin's Podcast whenever you start your Amazon shopping with our link, robinswebsite.com/Amazon, or for our friends in Canada, it's robinswebsite.com/AmazonCA.
The smartest guys around are about to break it down like they've won the game a million times.
Well, actually, they didn't really win the game at all.
Survivor know-it-alls.
Yes, that's right. The Survivor Know-It-Alls are back after Survivor Call Wrong episode number 11. Stephen Fishback. That's right.
Wow. What an acceptable episode this was.
Yes. Stephen, we have a lot to talk about tonight as we head towards the final six. And a close call tonight for Ty. I really did think that he was going home.
That's so funny. Like, I didn't think he was going home at all.
You didn't fall for it.
No. Well, so what? I don't know. In the scene before Tribal, when Jason and Sydney are talking and Jason's like, we got it right. We're going for Ty. Sydney couldn't even look him in the eye.
No, her body language was terrible. Brutal. Yeah.
And like, I was like, okay, so that's a total distraction. And it's obviously Julia going home tonight. And that also, you know, which, you know, I want to talk about plays into the episode's big theme of the night, which was the education of Michelle. Who, you know, she's kind of been quiet all season long. And this whole episode was like, will Michelle vote out her ally or won't she? And is it the right thing to do? And then and she did it.
But Ty has said no less than three times this season, I'm not going home with an idol in my pocket.
Oh, he's going home next week with an idol in his pocket. I guarantee that is what's going to happen next week.
Well, he keeps saying, I'm not going home with an idol in my pocket. And I said, oh, here we go. Ty's going home with an idol in his pocket. Oh, my God. Oh, the writing is on the wall. And
look,
then
Ty's going home next week. Sydney's the week after that. Then Joe, then Aubrey, then Jason and Michelle. Okay? Okay.
Such a fate accompli for Stephen Fishback.
I've got some question marks in that order. That's my prediction, but yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so I was very concerned about Ty, and then he didn't play the idol, and then I was like, oh, no, Ty, you idiot. What are you doing? And then ultimately, he's safe. So a lot to talk about.
What was
about.
Up with that? The first thing we talk about, why he had to, like, whisper on the other side of Aubrey's ear? Like, why did he need to go all the way around her head to whisper
His whisper
her?
Game is bad. Is Aubrey, does she have bad hearing in one ear?
It could be. Maybe, yeah.
All right. So we've got a lot to talk about here tonight. We are live. Hashtag RHAP to get your comments into the show. We're also taking your comments here on our YouTube channel at robiswebsite.com/YouTube. Big day tomorrow on the podcast, of course. Julia Sokolowski will join me.
Crazy.
On the exit.
And the great
interview.
Thing about Julia is that she is going, I feel like she's going to give a lot of like context and insight into like a lot of different things. She was in both alliances. She seems to be pretty level headed. I want, like, you know, ask her all the questions that we're all wondering. I guess that's what you do. Yeah.
She's feisty. We'll talk to her. And then it's basically a tentpole moment in every season. The big Tyson cast.
Oh, wow. So do you talk about Survivor on the Tyson cast, right?
Yes. Well, I actually get all of my non-talking about Survivor out of the way with Tyson every week on News AF. So it's weird. I podcast with Tyson every week. I have not talked at all about Survivor with him. I have no idea what he thinks about the season.
Is he watching?
I think he's watching. If not, he binges and catches up before I talk to him.
I haven't actually talked to him in a couple of weeks, so.
Yeah.
I don't know.
The last time I talked to him, last time I did the podcast with him was right after you got voted out. That was when he was on with me last season.
Oh, really?
Yes.
We
did not know the spoilers. It was good timing. We just did it that way because it was the double episode. And we said, okay, well, Tyson does a really long podcast. Let's just get Tyson on that week.
Wow. I should go back and listen to
it. It was a mitzvah. Okay. All right. Well, we don't need to revisit that, Stephen. We need to talk about everything going on here tonight. on this latest episode, episode number 11. And Stephen, for me, this is a hard episode to recap because I feel like that there was a lot of incomplete information. And I do feel like that the show was selling us something that may or may not necessarily be true. My big question is, how much did Sydney and Michelle flirt with the idea of voting with Julia and Jason?
I don't think very much. And I really got that feeling, too. That's why this was my I didn't love this episode. And it was because of that. I felt like a story was being told that was not lining up really with what was happening in the game. And of course, like, that's part of the difficulty of this show. You know, if it's like kind of a down the line vote, you know, the alliance that was together last week is staying together this week. And I think out of that, the fact that they were able to create so much drama and add so much character depth is really a testament to how great the producers always are. But, you know, Aubrey and Sydney's alliance stuck together. They pulled in another person and they voted out the next person on the list, you know, and like that's never going to be the crazy episode.
So do you think that either Michelle or Sydney seriously considered it but did not pull the trigger because the other person did not want to? And if so, who was who in that scenario?
I mean, I think it's pretty right? Like, it seemed like Michelle was just going with whomever she last spoke to, right? So she's with Aubrey. Aubrey's like, all right, we got to take out Ty. We got to take out Julia. Michelle's like, well, I don't want to, but I'll do it. Then she goes to Julia, and Julia's like, well, we got to take out Ty. And Michelle's like, yeah, let's take out Ty. But it really felt like Sydney was the real swing vote in this. And I don't think she was seriously considering it. You know, we got a few kind of like vague, like, well, if the opportunity's there, maybe it's the right move. But it didn't really ever seem like she was thinking about it.
Yeah, to me, I actually would have really liked this move for Michelle if she would have done it. And I get the sense that she definitely would have pulled the trigger. I think that that would have been a good thing for Michelle to go over to that side. But it did seem like Sydney was the one who is pulling the trigger. And then it also seemed like that there was a narrative being at least shown to us that Sydney and Michelle are somewhat of a pair. Whereas over these last couple of weeks, Sydney and Aubrey were really shown to us as a pair. Do you think that Sydney and Michelle is a thing at all?
Oh, yeah. And in fact, I think two episodes, the Debbie Blind side, when Aubrey approached Sydney, she was like, you have Michelle, right? And Sydney was like, yeah, I've got Michelle. So I think there's definitely a relationship there.
Yes.
I agree. I think for like in a vacuum for Michelle to stay with the alliance of nice people, you know, who where she's at the bottom of the four-person alliance of nice people.
Five-person
alliance, right. Well, it's funny, like Aubrey actually called it four people plus Michelle. You know, she's actually like fully on the outs of that alliance versus the alliance of like the jerks, you know, with her best friend, you know, like a solid ally and the jerk, like that's the place to be. But
well, let me give Michelle some credit here, because I do think that she could have very easily, she was left out in the dark on the last vote, that she could have just been with Julia. And well, Julia was pretty sour about the whole situation with being left in the dark. You saw her, and kudos to Jason as well for the way that he handled that. More on him.
Yeah, he handled that great. Yeah. Like, yeah.
Well, let me give Michelle her due, because I think that Michelle did a good thing in not just getting lumped with the two people on the outs. And I felt like that she worked very hard to reintegrate herself to that five, where she was one of those people left out in the cold. And a lot of this episode was really told through her perspective. And I thought that she did a good job of getting back into that group. What she can do with that remains to be seen. But I thought that she did a lot of damage control to work back into being on the right side of the numbers after being left in the wrong side of the numbers last week.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think she, you know, we certainly saw this was a big episode for Michelle, you know,
biggest of the season.
She wins the reward challenge, which is, you know, throwing hoops, which is, you may or may not remember, I'm terrible at. You know, she had a ton of
professionals. I thought those were rings, not hoops.
Rings, yeah. The ring toss. Yeah, the ring toss. I was terrible at the ring toss. She won.
You're like the bizarro Ted Cruz.
Is he good at the ring toss? She won the immunity challenge, and then she had a ton of really, you know, very focused strategic confessionals where she was talking about her efforts to reintegrate herself into the group. She talked about her social game. And she talked about the really difficult decision she had with voting out Julia. Now, if you were a cynical person, you might say this is all part of a winner's edit. But I won't go that far because I don't believe in such things. And, you know, I just say that she's reintegrating herself.
Yeah. Very big night for Michelle. Not only does she win the reward challenge, as you alluded to, she also wins the Stephen Fishback Memorial Immunity Challenge.
Oh, yeah. The memory challenge.
Yeah. So she's in a good spot. And Stephen, I actually felt like that she was in a similar position to where you were in that first hour of the aforementioned double episode, where after the votes went against you, when Jeremy played his idol for you, you won a reward challenge and you ended up taking Jeremy and Tasha on that reward. And I felt like that she was in a similar position where she says, hey, I'm going to take Aubrey. Aubrey is the person to take. And I need to get back in the good graces of Aubrey and Sydney and, you know, reinforce these bonds with these people that I'm working with. Did you see any similarity in that, or is that a stretch?
So you're just trying to dig the knife. Like, she wasn't voted out that episode.
She won immunity. She won the immunity.
That's true. That was my mistake. Not winning immunity. Look, I think that you often need to just take the power broker, right? And I think for her, like, that is Aubrey. That's the person she was allied with. That's the person who left her out. Like, I really think a reward is a better opportunity to repair a fractured relationship than it is to bring over a new ally. You know, your enemies they're not going to be your allies just because you gave them fried chicken, but your former friend might reawaken some friendship. So I thought it was a great choice by Michelle and Sydney. I mean, she did everything right. She certainly did everything right.
Yeah, because isn't this all part and parcel of that Fishback doctrine that we've talked about since your return, where not only do you use hidden immunity idols to reinforce and build coalition, but also reward challenge, and rewards are an opportunity to reinforce those bonds. You talked about how that you felt like that you, when you didn't get to go on that reward that you really wanted to go on, you felt like that was part of the reason that you lost in Token Chains, was that you didn't get to go, that a reward cost you. So you're a big believer in this. You and Michelle are the same.
Yeah, I know. I think we are the same. And that's maybe why I'm like so jealous of her winner's edit, is that, you know, I want it for myself and I just will never get it. That's why I get to be on the know-it-alls, though. So it's a trade off.
Yes. Okay. We talked about Jason and his role in this. And I think a lot of people came into this episode really expecting Jason to go scorched earth. And I think that we all came into this episode very concerned about the plight of Mark the Chicken. By the way, are you enjoying the Mark the Chicken era of Survivor? Or you feel like, is Mark the Chicken being forced down our throat more than some sort of Rupert times Joey Amazing times whoever else?
I love it. That moment in the episode where Julia's talking about wringing his neck and you see like the alarm mark or like pecking a tie. I love that. That was so great. That's what Survivor needs to be. You know, that's like Survivor at its best, is when it's just like, you've got the strategy, you've got the human characters, and then you have these like absurd little moments that are like, we're all, you know, do you like it? Do you not like it?
I like it, but I feel like I'm wondering if we are jumping the shark with it. Have we jumped the chicken?
Jump? No, it's like, it's not like every season there's a mark.
Jump the mark.
We're saying we've missed the mark?
No, jump the shark. We jumped the mark.
I think they've hit the mark with this one.
Okay, you're on board. Yeah. All right. But for Jason, I think a lot of people felt that coming into this episode, Jason is going to go nuts. He's going to flip out. He's going to kill the chicken. He's going to say, you voted out my friend. Now I'm going to go nuts. I'm going to get revenge. But he was like that in the confessionals, at least, that he was feeling like he wanted revenge. But I thought that he was almost Chris Daugherty-esque tonight because he was.
Jason was great. Yeah. He just, you know, he comes back. He's very like, great move. I'm upset as a person, but you know, I'm upset as being on the other side of that vote, but you guys did a great job. You know, we didn't see it coming. You know, Ty comes over and apologizes. He's like, I totally get it. Yeah. And then he goes and fumes to the camera, which is where you're supposed to fume. And, you know, Jason is better. You know, and then I thought the way that he was playing Sydney was good too. You know, and if anything, I was like scribbling notes, as I was considering the fishy. I was like, this is exactly how Sydney needs to be played, right? You drop a hint with Sydney. You don't like try to pressure Sydney. You know, when Aubrey tried to, you know, when Aubrey convinced Ty to switch sides, right? She really went for the hard sell. With Jason, it's more like with Sydney, it's like you just present the option to her, and that's what Jason did. And, you know, I thought his analysis of everyone was good. Like, Sydney likes to make big moves. She likes to make blindsides. It didn't work out for him, but I thought he was playing it well. And in some ways, it did work out for him. You know, Julia got eliminated and not him.
Yeah, I think that he really did a great job all the way around. Do you think, are you willing to consider him again back as somebody who could potentially win the season? Or do you think that he's still playing a losing game no matter what he does at this point?
I mean, you know what I think. I think Jason loses in the final two to Michelle.
Yeah.
I'm unspoiled. This is just my prediction based on the edits and where I think the season plays out.
But take a look at the constitution of the jury, though. And I know we've talked about Michelle and the winner's edit, and we're giving Michelle a lot of dap tonight. But, I mean, how many votes could she possibly have on that jury?
I think you're going to get a lot of anti-Jason votes. If it's Jason against Michelle, who's voting for Jason? Scott is, Nick is, and then the rest all think he's a big bully jerk and they're mad at him.
Yeah, I guess you could have this, you know, you could see potential, especially if it ends up to be a final two where Neil could be anti-Jason. You got Joe could be anti-Jason. Ty could be anti-Jason. So that certainly is a possibility if we end up getting this final two scenario. But it almost is incredulous to me to think about how we end up with that scenario if you could potentially get to, as you've said, Michelle, you feel like has winner's edit. You feel like Jason is a losing finalist. So how do we get to that scenario from here at the final six, Stephen?
Yeah, well, so I think Ty's a huge threat, right? And even in the previews for next week, it looks like Ty could be the one targeted. And I think it's likely that he is. He's got this idol. He's got this extra vote. The question that I have is, like, after Ty goes home, if it is in fact Ty, what happens at the final, I guess, five that'll be? How is it that Sydney gets voted out instead of, you know, anybody else? That's what I don't get. I mean, why? Or Aubrey. I mean, I guess it could be Joe. Like, I don't get how Sydney, Aubrey, or Joe goes at the final five, but something happens.
Tricky. Hard to imagine the scenario also where Ty is going to screw this up here in these next couple of weeks. I mean, I guess it's not beyond the realm of possibility, but he does have the extra vote, and that's foolproof, right, Stephen?
Yeah. And, you know, many people have never, you know, nobody's ever gone home with an idol in their pocket.
Right.
So he has
two votes. He also has the hidden immunity idol. There's only two votes left to play them. So he has two things, basically, that he can use over these next couple of votes.
So you think he'll probably use one of, he's got to use one of them next week, right? No. So maybe he stays. Maybe Ty stays next week because he plays the idol.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about the hidden immunity idol. And so it was definitely in play in terms of being talked about last night or tonight in terms of how people were going to be playing it or trying to flush it. So you had this moment in the episode where at Tribal Council, a lot of people are talking about things and Ty says to Aubrey around the corner, goes to her ear and says, should I play my idol? She says... No, I don't think you should, but, you know, whatever your gut tells you. Dalton Ross, immediately after the episode, was posting on Twitter that he felt like this was a golden opportunity for Aubrey to flush the idol from the game. Do you like that move?
Yes, play your idol.
Is she better served by having one of her allies keeping that idol around for another two rounds of play? She's going to get rid of Ty after the final five. It shouldn't be a problem for her in terms of when she's going to be voting out Ty. But considering that she would want to get rid of Jason and presumably Michelle over these next two votes, is it better for her to have Ty keep that idol?
What does the idol serve, though, for her? I mean, assuming, you know, if she's thinking ahead to the final four, right, then her assumption has to be that her alliance is staying strong. If her alliance stays strong, then there's no reason for the idol. The only thing the idol does is give Ty the leverage to pull something huge off. As Jason mentioned, he's twice flipped. You know, what's to stop Ty from being like, okay, all the alliances are broken up. I'm jumping over to Jason now. I could win. You know, like the idol gives Ty tremendous leverage. It creates a huge, you know, an enormous amount of randomness where there doesn't need to be randomness. If Aubrey really thinks her alliance is going to hang tough till four, then like get rid of that idol now because now's the time. I totally agree that that was a mistake. And I was thinking the same thing when both times I watched it. You know, on the other hand, like there's something, I mean, you know, it's like, yes, sitting at home analyzing it, you're like, yeah, in an ideal world, Aubrey would have said this, but you're in the moment, Tribal Council, you know, you're hungry, you're crazy, you're tired, you know, someone whispers in your ear, you don't necessarily have the time or the wherewithal to run through all the scenarios of like what the ideal strategic move is. You know, some of it is just like you say the thing that comes to your head as fast as you can because Jeff's about to open that urn.
So one of two things was also happening at that tribal council. Either A, Sydney and Michelle really were doing a bad job of acting in terms of what they were going to be doing at that tribal council, in terms of making Ty incredibly nervous about what was going on, or B, that they were trying to flush the idol. They wanted Ty to play the idol at that tribal council. Even though they weren't voting against him, they would have liked to have seen Ty play that idol. Steven, did you ever read on what was happening?
Oh, I just thought they were answering Jeff, like they were giving Jeff what he wanted. You know, he asks the question like, isn't it always good to make big moves? You're like, yeah, you got to make big moves. You know, you're not going to be like, no, I'm sticking stuff tough to my alliance tonight. You know, you kind of have to apply. I don't know. Did you think that he was?
I don't know. Because to me, if I was that person and I didn't want Ty to be nervous and I wanted to sort of like let my alliance know I was voting with them and not come off as wishy-washy, Rob. But in this game, don't you have to make big moves? I think the answer is like, Jeff, I do think you have to make big moves, but you have to make the right big move. And, you know, you have, I think you could answer that in a way that does not lead Ty to say, I am very uncomfortable right now. I am extremely uncomfortable with these answers that I'm hearing at this tribal council. So unless you're telling me that they were trying to flush the idol, like I felt like they created a lot of mistrust with Ty.
But they don't need to have, I don't know. I think people have, you know, I think people give a buy to those answers at tribal council. You know, I don't think people go back and say, how dare you say sometimes it's, you know, in response to Jeff, sometimes it's right, the right thing to make big moves. You know, I think when you come back from tribal council, for the most part, unless you are deliberately attacked, you think like, okay, those were all just like answers we gave. You know, you're not thinking about like what it means for yourself. You know, there's also the, you know, there's no need. It's not like Ty is an ally that they're trying to keep, you know? I mean, yes, he's an ally they're trying to keep, but he's not like a wishy-washy marginal one, right? Presumably at this point, he's part of their alliance. They were all hugging at the start of the episode. Oh, I'm so happy for you. I'm so happy for you. They were kissing. What a weird moment that was too, wasn't it?
Yeah. And Ty, I felt like did not do a great job in terms of his own damage control with Jason at the start of the episode. Like, I think like when he was like laughing and talking to Jason about trying to explain what he did, I didn't think that he did a great job with that either.
Yeah, it's hard. Those, you know, just emotions are high in those moments. But yeah. What's the right move for Ty in this situation? You're Ty. You've just blindsided Scott. What do you say to Jason?
Well, I can tell you what the situation that I was in back in Survivor of the Amazon, where after I blindsided Alex, I came back with my own version of Julia and Michelle in Jenna and Heidi. And I said, look, I just want to explain what happened to you guys. I owe you an explanation. And they were just like, we don't want to hear it, Rob. Shut up. We hate you. Right. I'm like, okay, well, it's your own death warrant. If you guys don't want to talk to me, that's fine. And then, you know, they go, you know, Jenna wins the game. So what the hell do I know? She should host the show.
So basically, if somebody
says, screw you, we don't want to hear it. Yeah. We're going to do whatever we want from now on. Shut up.
I mean, that's the thing that we always did in Token Sheens, and even to a lesser extent in the last one, was, you know, when you come back, you're like, that person was scheming. They said they want, you know, Coach said he wanted, you know, Debbie said she wanted you out, Coach. You know, Coach said he wanted you out, JT. You know, whatever it is, right? You always like say to that person, oh, they were gunning for you. We had to do this to save you. We were, I was on your side really all along. But that wouldn't work in this case for Ty.
Yeah. I mean, Julia also right there, like, started talking about like, let me just explain what happened. And she's like, honestly, I really don't care. I really don't care.
She was
I really
hot.
Don't want to
hear heated.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was crazy. That was very much from the Jenna and Heidi playbook in terms of how you respond to that. Okay.
But there's the right thing to do if you're blindsided, right? And we've seen a bunch of people do is like, wow, great. Like, it's basically what Jason did. Great move, guys. You did a great move, you know.
Yeah.
Well done.
I thought he handled it really perfectly. I really did. I thought he did a fantastic job with that. I know that some people don't want to hear anything positive or negative about him, but we're going to be fair and we're going to call it like we see it. That's what we do.
Yeah,
that's right. Aubrey, I felt like, had a interesting night where I felt like that really she owned the night last week in episode 10. I felt like it was a quiet night for Aubrey. Did you get a vibe, good, bad, or indifferent in terms of Aubrey and her stock rising or falling this week?
I mean, I thought, like, you know, again, like, I don't think for narrative reasons that Aubrey's winning, but I think in terms of the actual game right now, something's going to go wrong. But, like, she's in a great position. I think Aubrey is in the best position. You know, yes, a lot of people are pointing out to her relationship with Joe, right? Everyone is saying Joe is Aubrey's, you know, minion. Aubrey's running the show with Joe. Like, those two are the tightest two in this game. That's very, very dangerous for Aubrey. But she is running the game, right? And in this episode, she kept running the game. And in fact, she may or may not be getting a fishy this, you know, you'll have to click and find out, but this episode.
Well, let me, I disagree with you. I think she actually lost some power tonight. I think that Sydney has more of the power in the group right now. And I think I might have her at the most dominant position because I felt like that we started to see the emergence of Sydney and Michelle. We saw that Sydney potentially could double back with Jason. And I feel like that we have Aubrey is being seen as sort of, as Jason pointed out, that she is in lockstep with Joe. And the fact that she has that bond with Joe, I think, is kind of dangerous for her. So while she does have the girl power thing where we saw her on the reward with Sydney and also with Michelle, I think that just the specter of Joe is something that could unite the other players against her. And I think that potentially that you could see maybe even Ty double back and go. And especially if it's a new version of Jason, which isn't seen as much of a bully, and that I think that maybe could a Sydney, Michelle, Jason, Ty faction emerge.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with the Joe thing as a big liability for Aubrey. But if you look at who has the most, you know, at least from the story we're being told, that has most of the relationships in this game, you know, Aubrey's got Joe. Aubrey's the one who brought Ty over, right? Ty turned to Aubrey when he wanted to know, should I play my idol? You know, Aubrey and Sydney are super tight. And then, you know, Aubrey's the one that Michelle brought along on the reward. She's the one who's like, Aubrey's like, Michelle thought, I need to get this person. Now, granted, Sydney was already with her. But, you know, I do think that Aubrey's the power player right now. Not great to be the power player, but the fact that Ty has this advantage and this idol, you know, is actually really good for her because it makes Ty a much bigger threat than she is. Now, the danger is when Ty is gone, suddenly Aubrey's the biggest threat in the game. Mm-hmm. But and maybe that's where it goes wrong for her, is that obvious perception.
I'm more worried for Aubrey this week than I was last week. I really felt very strongly about her coming out of last week's episode. I felt like that she was the winner, but I feel like that Sydney is just much more in the middle of things at this point, where she has access to Jason, she has access to Michelle. Joe is just seen as a vote in Aubrey's pocket, and I think that the perception is going to be she's the most dangerous person in the game, and I think that that makes her a target going forward here at 6 and 5.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that she, because
especially of, when Ty's protected with the idol.
I mean, I see that, but I think you could argue it both ways, right? I think Ty's idol makes Ty a bigger threat, which is good for Aubrey. You know, I don't think Ty's idol is good for Ty right now. I mean, maybe if he knows to play it next episode, but he's not watching the same show we are, unfortunately.
Yeah. Okay, Steven, anything else you want to make sure we hit tonight before we jump into some of these questions?
No, I think that's it. I think, what else? What else to say? Joe? What's Joe up to?
Nothing.
This was not a good episode for Joe, right? First, he's compared to a dog waiting for Aubrey or
and
whatever.
He ran out of gas. Then, yeah.
And he ran out of gas in the immunity challenge. That was not Joe's moment. Maybe Joe is gone next.
It's why? Why vote out Joe next?
No, not, I don't, maybe he just like, you know.
Medevac?
Yeah.
Certainly is possible.
There was a lot this episode that was just like Joe not doing anything.
Yeah. Also, there was a little bit of this dialogue at Tribal Council where people were talking about, you know, how do you get the votes in the end? You have to make a move to win over the jury. Sydney says that people are going to give it to somebody who made a move rather than somebody who's throwing people under the bus left and right. Is she throwing shade at anybody in particular? Is it Ty that she's singling out in that way?
That's what I thought. I thought that was referring specifically to Ty. Although, like, you know, Ty certainly made moves, right? Like, maybe it's more about Jason, who's, like, calling everybody out, and therefore Jason is the one who's throwing everyone under the bus.
Well, how do you make moves in this game without throwing somebody under the bus?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I really a throwaway comment.
Okay. All right, let's get into some of these questions. Why don't we start up tonight with Haiku Fishback.
Woo! All right. Haiku Fishback wants to know, was it bad to choose Aubrey on the reward and leave Jason with an already feeling on the outs, Julia? Well, we talked about this, but Rob, what do you think?
No, no big deal. I know people are always going to nitpick these things, but Joe is there, that he's sort of like the, you know, chaperone, making sure, like, hey, no touching, you know, leave room for the Holy Spirit. Everybody, you know, who comes back, as long as he didn't like just like go to sleep the whole time. I think that he's sort of like making, you need four votes here. And so yeah, there's three of them together. There's Joe. He's not going anywhere. Ty is also there. So I didn't have an issue with bringing Aubrey on the reward challenge.
Yeah, and plus, like, you know, you're at some point you're leaving someone with someone. You know, there's no way to really avoid that. And, you know, the fact that Jason and Julia are together is almost, I mean, you could make a case why it's better that you're leaving them, you know, with, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Do you think that Mark the Chicken is out of the woods, Steven?
He's definitely getting, do you think he's getting a food edit or a Survivor edit?
See, this is something that I think is kind of an interesting thing to think about. So let's just say hypothetically, Mark the Chicken makes it 39 days.
I think Mark is going all the way.
Chicken goes all the way back 39 days. Now, obviously, Ty isn't able to take Mark the Chicken in his suitcase to go home. Mark the Chicken is left in the hands of Survivor production. Is it possible, Steven, that Mark the Chicken returned to Survivor in his own second chance during Survivor Cambodia and went on to become either Juicy J or one of the late great Juicy J's cohorts and actually was eaten by you?
Wow.
Did you, Stephen Fishback, eat Mark the Chicken? Is that are you willing to consider that possibility?
Wow. I never thought about it until now. If I'd known that it was Mark.
Oh, you laugh and laugh and laugh about Mark the Chicken. Little do you know that you may not only have killed him, but you ate him also.
I thought I ate a lady chicken. And I think, I mean, Mark, I mean, not knowing that much about the gender, Mark is a man chicken. I'm pretty juicy. It was a lady chicken.
Look, I know there's so many people on Reddit out there that are good at this. I need shot by shot side of Mark the Chicken and all the chickens from Survivor Cambodia.
Wow. It really could be that Mark the Chicken. Yeah. But he got his second chance. That's the important thing. He was on the returnee season. And even if it ended badly for him, he still got to play that second time.
Yes. Maybe. Is that what gave you the severe gastrointestinal distress? The ghost of Mark the Chicken?
He's the revenge of Mark. Yeah. Yeah. Mark Izuma's revenge.
Damn. Okay. Let's take a question. Scott Grimes. Joe quit on the immunity challenge in a season with the harshest elements since Australia. Is it just me or is this troubling his health out there?
That's what we were just saying, right?
Are you concerned about Joe 30 days in?
Maybe. I mean, maybe there is something to be concerned about. He's just kind of gassing out. Maybe he is gone in the next episode or two. And that might actually explain a lot.
Yeah. All right.
Kyle Dorr wants to know, if Ty would have played as idol, would he become less of a target moving forward in terms of tribal councils? Good question.
Yeah. I mean, the whole Ty playing as idol really wouldn't have changed anything. Even if the votes ended up going on to Ty, because Julia still would have gone home. So for Julia, really, she was sort of like, damn, the only way that she was safe tonight was going to be if Ty didn't play as idol.
No, but is he better off now? Would he have been better off next episode had he played his idol?
We talk about this with the advantage all the time, that it's better to get rid of it. But I feel like that
is less situational than the advantage.
Yeah, I think that would you rather have the hidden immunity idol at Final Six or not have the hidden? I would rather have the hidden immunity idol.
I would rather have it too. It's too bad that Ty, I mean, it would make him less of a target, but an easier target to vote out, you know? I think, you know, if Ty is going to just play it next week, which he ought to.
Lauren, I feel like five would be the better place to play it than six.
Yeah, but he's not going to make
it in a vacuum.
You want to play it as the latest you can, but you might not. You have to get to the latest point in order to play it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's go to Lauren Lang, 9991. In the immunity challenge, wouldn't it have been faster to randomly untie the knots than to swim back to check the board? Would Jeff have allowed that? Well, Steven, from what I understand, and I'm sure you can clarify this, that you were allowed to basically untie one knot, and then you have to go back. So I think that would have been
everyone should have untied one knot for sure.
Right. So the people that just say, like, I don't remember it, let me just go back, they should have at least randomly untied one knot and tried the key that was with that, and maybe like they had a 1 in 12 chance or whatever it was to pick out the right key.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Very impressed, though, with both Michelle and Julia that they were able to do
that. Yeah, one go. It was really impressive. Great job.
Yeah.
I want to see the boy. We never got like a really good shot of the whole thing. I wanted to see, because there weren't 17 numbers on it, right? There were like 10, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
No, I was actually very confused as to how the challenge worked in terms of, like, I got the part that they swam out to. I understood what, like, the numbers corresponded to the animals. But in terms of what they had, I didn't really follow what they were doing with spinning the wheel.
I think there were animals. Then they had symbols of animals, and they had to, like, rotate it a certain number of degrees.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was, like a combination, like, three things right. Yeah, exactly. Then four things left, and, like, that's your thing.
Okay. Here's from James, who wants to say, can we pencil in Ty for the final four? Is there any reason that he shouldn't play his advantage at 6 and idle at 5? That certainly you would think that, but as we've seen, that the advantage does not necessarily correspond with immunity at a vote. In fact, that people have actually been voted out, Stephen, who've played the advantage at a tribal council.
Reliably.
Yes. Yes. So, I mean, what is the likelihood you think that happens for Ty?
I don't know. I mean, the likelihood, I don't know. I don't think, I mean, Ty's not making it to the end, but I think, you know, I think he's going home next week, but I certainly could be wrong.
If it does happen for Ty, at what point will there ever be a charity event where you, Ty, and Dan Foley could all pose together?
Is it enough if Ty is blindsided with the advantage in his pocket? Does he have to misplay it on the tribal council?
Has to misplay it.
But is it worse to go home with the advantage in the pocket, or is it worse to play it and go home anyway?
I think it's worse to play it and go home anyway.
Because you're missing a chance. You never even had the chance. I feel like if I had gone home with the advantage in my pocket, I would have had more regret over what I could have done than to have played the advantage as I thought and been wrong.
I feel like it's a little bit of the Wile E. Coyote thing where it's like, you know, he sets up the trap for the Roadrunner and then it doesn't go off and he goes in to see, like, investigate what happens, and then it goes up in his face. It's not like that, oh, like, I never even got to set the trap for the Roadrunner. Roadrunner just ran by me.
Yeah, but if he got killed with the trap in his pocket that could have saved his life, like, then it's like, you know.
Not as good of a cartoon. Yeah. Okay.
All right. Mark Turpey wants to know if Jason wins.
Is that the chicken's last name?
Oh, I think it is. Yeah, I believe it is. If Jason wins immunity next week, which one of the other five would be the first to go? I think you and I both agree it's going to be Ty or Aubrey.
Really? You feel like that if Jason won immunity, I think that would be interesting in terms of, like, who are they going to get rid of? I think you could see really Aubrey and Sydney be at loggerheads over that. Aubrey is going to say, well, not Joe. And Sydney might be like, hey, why not Joe? And I think that maybe
Joe will be a, well, but we saw in the obviously we don't trust the preview for next week, but we saw that it could be that the two they were discussing were Michelle and Ty. Now we know Michelle wins, so it has to be Ty.
Wow. Really putting it out there. Really staking your reputation. It's possible.
I want to, like, just to be clear, this could be the visibility spike before the Michelle elimination. I just don't think it is. I think Michelle wins, but it certainly is possible that Michelle goes home next week.
Yeah. Okay. We'll see. We'll see what happens. Yeah. I just do think that at some point there's going to be the thing where they're going to make you think it's one person and they're going to pull the rug out from you.
Yeah.
Could be it. This could be it. Okay. The Flow says, Jason called out Aubrey and Joe as a tight pair. How much truth is that? P.S. Thank God Mark the Chicken lives another day. People are really into the Mark the Chicken thing.
Well, did you see that the CBS released and they sent it to Steve Helling at People my colleague Steve Helling.
Yeah. Yes.
A revised introduction of the final seven that includes Mark the Chicken.
Yeah, I wasn't sure. Was that actually in the episode tonight, or was that just like a goof that they posted for People?
I think it was a goof.
Yeah. Very funny. Very funny idea. A lot of traction for that. They're really getting a lot of mileage out of Mark the Chicken.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Too bad Steven ate him. Twas Brilling says, was Michelle crying as Julia went out a good or bad look for Michelle to the jury, or does it not matter?
Good look. I think remorse is always what the jury wants to see.
Yeah. Also, you know, these juries do come down a lot to who's likable, who am I not mad at? And I feel like that, you know, Stephen, what do you think is the most important factor as a juror now, in terms of I'm not mad at this person or I like them, which is the bigger thing, that how mad I am or what did they do in the game?
I think it's a combination of like who you're sitting next to, you know, like who's angriest at whom at Ponderosa, you know, what people do in the game. And then I also think there is like an element that every jury is going to have its own kind of story. You know, every jury is going to have its own metrics of like, are we a jury that's like rewarding, you know, the best gamer? Or are we a jury that's like really angry and rewarding, you know, Natalie White?
Yeah. You know, it's going to be interesting to see the dynamic in the Ponderosa video of what is the atmosphere at the jury and how are they viewing the events that are going on there. I think that's going to be a very fun, and it's been an interesting season at the Ponderosa, but we've gotten much more of what has been the mental state of the players coming out of the game, more so than what is the temperature at the jury at the Ponderosa.
Yeah. And I just want to clarify it. Like I think part, you know, a part of winning is making the jury like you, but you know, that doesn't mean you're like, you know, You can't get to the end having pissed off the jury and then expect to win. You know, I made a sort of glib remark about Natalie, and I think Natalie deserved to beat Russell. Although the word deserve is very questionable in Survivor. Nobody deserves anything.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't want to get 1,000 tweets like, oh my God, are you saying Russell should have beat Natalie? Natalie was about you, but whatever. I've always been saying Natalie was the right winner. Although, you know, I really liked, what's her name? The cop who, Betsy. Betsy was the one who I think should have won Samoa.
All right. The good thing those people blogs aren't archived anywhere. We can't go back and fact check you on any of this. Okay. Corey wants to know, can we discuss how unfair and BS it was for Jeff to announce Michelle's strategy out loud and others followed suit? Steven, did that annoy you as a gamer that Jeff said, Michelle's writing the numbers in the sand?
Yeah, I didn't like that. I actually, and then suddenly Ty did it. Yeah.
But she won the challenge. What are we arguing about here?
How much did it annoy me? I'm not still upset. In fact, I'd forgotten about it. But when I saw that, when you asked that question, I was like, oh yeah, I had a momentary thought. I wish he hadn't done that to poor Michelle.
Yeah. Okay. Oh. Couple more questions for Steven. What do you got from Jackson?
Jackson Del Rocco wants to know, shouldn't Michelle and Sydney have just voted for Ty? Ty either leaves the idol or it's flushed and Julia leaves. That was Jason's pitch. What do you think, Rob?
Yeah. I mean, it seems like a good idea, but I mean, how much can you trust those guys? Do they have another move up their sleeve?
I mean, yeah. You also then lose Ty, although where's he going, you could argue. I mean, then he gets Ty with.
Yeah.
You don't know what the advantage is. Maybe the advantage is a second idol. You know, no, that's the other thing we have to remember. No one knows what that advantage is. So, like, they might think Ty is basically invincible.
Yeah, it's an interesting idea. I think that definitely we should get out a pad after the episode and sort of explore what that looks like. But good thinking. Amy says, hey, shout out to Steven who won that challenge in Token Genes by memorizing almost all the numbers. So shout out to you from Amy.
Oh, thank you so much. You know what? I've always regretted. I've never had an unscrambling challenge, though. I've always wanted to play in an unscrambling challenge. And I've never, just to like test myself.
Yes. Now, I think I'd be good in any sort of like word hunt. We did have like a jumble, like one of those like word finds in the Amazon. And one of the more boring challenge components in Survivor history, there was a bunch of like animal words scrambled in like a big chalkboard. And you had to circle the words.
You also had Go Fish, which I really liked. I enjoyed that one, where you all were like in a circle and you were like, do you have any marbles?
Oh, yes. You know, we did that. And we actually literally went fishing.
Had a go fishing. Yeah, that was a fun one. You guys had some. It was a different era. It was a different dog.
Different era.
I thought they were fun, though. I really enjoyed them.
Okay. What about Marielle?
Marielle wants, out of the remaining players, do you think Joe is the best person to take to Final Tribal? If not, who and why?
Joe's good.
Joe's not getting anyone's vote. Maybe
Aubrey.
Aubrey, if Aubrey's there. But I don't even think that's true. I don't think Aubrey would vote for Joe.
Okay. All right. Well, let's do one last question. Bobby from St. Louis has the last word. I'm sorry. No, he does not. Panthor says, so my question is, could all the importance of Sydney and seemingly discreet foreshadowing put her in a good spot to win based on the edit? I'd add Aubrey in there also, but I'm concerned that she'd be the fallen angel edit next to Wentworth. And which three dot, dot, dot. Okay. Well,
I think Aubrey's getting the Fallen Angel. And I also think it's like the Rob Cesternino edit, too.
Yes.
Which is like the big player who's just short. I actually think that is what Aubrey's getting. The Fallen Angel is a... I've always thought of you as a Fallen Angel, Rob.
Yes, yes.
Wait, what was the question? What was the actual question, though?
Sydney, could you see a winner edit for Sydney, Mr. Winner edit?
No, I don't think she's getting enough credit when she's actually deciding the vote, the decisions, you know. Last week, the week before, this week, you know, a lot of the like narrative credit is going to people like Aubrey or Michelle instead of Sydney. I don't think Sydney can win.
Okay.
Just from an editorial story, just from the story of the season. I need to stop talking about edit and just start calling it story. It seems to work for Wiggler.
That's not what he does. That's not exactly what he does.
I was being glib.
Yeah. Okay. So Steven, we will see who you said got the fishy when your people blog drops sometime soon. You can follow at Steven Fishback on Twitter.
I'm hoping to have it up within the hour. So
within the hour. Wow.
Yeah.
Fire on all cylinders. Is there anything else from this episode you want to talk about?
No, this was a fun one. I mean, this was when I say this was a fun one, it was my least favorite of the season. What I really liked about this episode, though, was that they took this kind of, it could have been an uninteresting episode, but I think that by bringing Michelle's story of like, Michelle has a really personal, hard decision. Do I blindside my friend or not? I liked that they like really just like spent some time on this, like, you know, this moral decision that really didn't have that much weight in the episode itself. It didn't really impact the vote at all, but it mattered to Michelle. You know, it was something that Michelle was thinking about. And, you know, I enjoyed that. I liked the human element to that.
So, but we both agree that Sydney really was never flipping against the alliance. So did you just...
I thought you thought like there was a shot.
No, I mean, I kind of thought that in hindsight, I don't think that there was, but I was worried during the episode in terms of like, oh, because they kept showing Ty saying, I'm not getting voted out with the idol. So I felt like, oh, Ty is getting voted out with the idol, and I expected him to get voted out. But then
there was a lot of that at the start of the episode. You're
when
absolutely
he did
right.
not get voted out with the idol, I said, okay, well, obviously it doesn't seem like Sydney wants to flip. But for Michelle, I did think that was sort of like her big girl moment in the game of, okay, I have to vote out my friend Julia. So I thought that story is interesting.
Yeah, it's like her, like, it's her, like, awakening.
Yeah, so I have to, now I'm all alone. Now I don't have my friend Julia anymore in the game. So we'll see where Michelle goes from here.
Yeah.
All right. Steven, do you like the hashtag jump the mark?
I like hit the mark. Okay. No, jump the mark. No, jump the mark is better. Jump the mark is better.
All right. Well, tell us if you think that Mark the Chicken has jumped the mark, use hashtag jump the mark. If you think it's still hitting the mark, then do hit the mark. And if you think Steven,
like it's a fan vote. Yeah.
Yes. And if you think Steven ate Mark the Chicken, do hashtag eat the mark.
Eat the mark.
Wow.
All right. I think I know what's going to win this one.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Steven, anything else from tonight's show?
No, this was good. Thanks, Rob. This was a fun discussion.
Always fun. Always a pleasure to talk with the great Steven Fishback. Of course, tomorrow we will have our Julia exit interview. Then we will have our big Tyson cast, Tyson Apostle. Get your voicemails in. Going to be recording starting a little bit earlier because it's all going to be one show. A little bit of a throwback to when we had the voicemails and everything all in one podcast. Go to robswebsite.com/voicemail or 323-282-RHAP. Of course, make sure you subscribe to the podcast. Go to robswebsite.com/iTunes or search RHAP in your favorite podcatcher. Steven, very much looking forward to reading the comments. Steven Fishback is actually incredible at responding to your comments on the website for the know-it-alls.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, does a very good job. Very responsive. True man of the people. We will see you on Thursday. Have a good night, everybody. Take care.
Bye. Survive the know-it-all.